Today's program has been brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit internationalculinarycenter.com.
I'm Mike Alameco from Food Talk. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is Wednesday and it's 5 o'clock. And if it's Wednesday and it's 5 o'clock and you are tuned in to the Heritage Radio Network, then I feel fortunate that you're listening to me, Phil Colicchio. And here on Wednesdays at 5 o'clock, bringing you the business of the business. That is the show sponsored by Heritage Radio Network. That brings you insights into the hospitality industry, the business side. We often say we don't care as much about how the parsley looks on your plate as about how much it cost. That's exactly right. If you listen to us regularly, you know that we occasionally have people who miss our live broadcasts. You are forgiven. It is part of my life's mantra to forgive those who miss live broadcasts. But if you do, you can simply go to www.heritageradionetwork.org, click onto the business sections, and listen to any one of our library recorded shows. We are also a podcast on iTunes. I'm still waiting to meet the first person to tell me, hey, I heard you on iTunes and thought you were good, bad, off, whatever. But I hope somebody listens to it on iTunes one day. So here we are. We're going to get down to the business of the business. I was able to coerce my friend Jackie Doak, the chief operating officer of Dart Realty Limited and Dart Enterprises of Grand Cayman, to come back to New York City on this beautiful fall day where the leaves are tumbling down, and to talk to us about the hospitality industry, not only in Grand Cayman, but in the Caribbean, the importance of it, the vision as to where it's going. Most of us know where it's been, and it's been sort of aligned with cruise ships and beach barbecues and all of the things which are certainly lovely and bucolic in our minds, but which in reality none of us can live with day to day. Jackie was kind enough to come here last week, talk about the Kamana Bay development. I'm going to have her back today, and she's going to talk about where it is now, where it's going, and that wish list that I think she could put together for the Caribbean as a whole after having a good 10 years of looking at this. Jackie, thanks so much for coming back.
Phil, my Cayman Airways and JetBlue frequent flyer miles are just racking up.
Well, as I said, you know, Jack Inslee was kind enough to approve this this budget request for me. And Jack, I thank you, our chief engineer. He will not be able to make his rent payment this month, but he's a giver. So we're going to honor Jack by getting right down to it. Jackie, when you were here last week, we talked about the vision of the Dart family and Dart Realty as to develop a real, I guess the best way to call it, the best phrase, a new urbanism concept for Grand Cayman. And I was fortunate enough to work with you a little bit on some of that planning. Fortunate enough to see how it has come to fruition over the last several years. We talked about the idea that, hey, restaurants make neighborhoods, but in the Caribbean, for the most part, many of the restaurants that are chef-driven, celebrity chef-driven, you know, are stuck in the bowels of hotels.
Mm-hmm.
And that your concept was one in which said, hey, that's not the way to make a neighborhood.
No.
You know, right? We're making a neighborhood. We're making a real, true new center, right?
Absolutely. And our restaurants at Kamana Bay have a beautiful view of water and islands and just amazing aspects.
It is spectacular. I'm gonna suggest that anyone who has the opportunity to get to Grand Cayman should come out to Kamana Bay. Make a point to get to Grand Cayman, by the way. It's a wonderful island, an extremely cosmopolitan island, an island where you can have 10 different experiences in 5 days. It can be a European experience. It can be an island experience. It can be an American experience. To my great chagrin, it can even be a crafted experience.
Well, then, Phil.
Yeah. There are a few people there who took a little advantage, but we'll let that alone. In my view, that was not the worst thing in the world that could happen, because the goal of that lazy thinker was to provide an enhanced experience for people who are visiting Grand Cayman. Jackie, where is Kamana Bay going to go? I mean, Kamana Bay is it's not just a little resort. I want to make sure the folks understand it. The Kamana Bay is mixed-use development in the most intelligently planned way.
Absolutely. I mean,
where's it going?
It's going a long, long way. We have another probably 50 years of development in us. But let me tell you where we are today. We have, Phil, 600,000 square feet of built space, which is amazing, amazing space. Very thoughtfully designed. Takes in the Caribbean breezes, the sunsets, the sunrises. We have all of the key players in the financial industry, PwC, Ernst & Young, amazing legal firms. And we have a cinema, a bookstore, Mitchell Kaplan, Books and Books, Miami, Florida, came down to Cayman, and then our restaurateurs.
I mean, it's not just a cinema, by the way. It's a state-of-the-art. It's a state-of-the-art entertainment complex.
Yes.
It's not that's almost not describing it as well as it could be. A vacation in a week in Grand Cayman would be like putting a terrific small U.S. town, in my view, at the beach.
Absolutely. Absolutely, you know. Phil. Do you know, one of the things I have to say about Michael Schwartz or Cindy Hudson when they came down to Kamana Bay is they really embraced the local community. Michael, especially in terms of his relationship with the farmers.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Know, I'm so glad you brought that up. I want to give, you know, both you and Michael real credit. Michael was able to actually inspire Kamanian farmers to grow things that they had not grown before or did not see a market for, correct?
Absolutely. And even more so as we have a thriving farmers market on Wednesdays at Kamana Bay. And all the farmers come out, set up their stands, and they're sold out within an hour and a half of being there.
It's quite, again, the good fortune that I had to spend time with you. I went to an agricultural fair. I was pretty surprised at the variety because I was told, and even the farmers talked to me about it, that the soil on Grand Pines, volcanic soil,
mm-hmm.
it's rich, but it's not deep.
Exactly.
Right.
And, you know, talking about the business of the business, Phil, one of the things that anyone who's considering going to a Caribbean location to open a restaurant needs to understand that 95% of the product is imported.
Right.
It's not, you know, our farmers are great. You have an issue with your menu because it's what's available. So you almost want to go out and see the farmers and say, what can I have before you print your menus?
You do. And then you need, again, we spend a great bit of time with the chefs who visited with the Foster family.
Exactly.
Who are the high quality purveyors. We'll give a nod to Dax Foster and his family, who really embraced the chefs we brought down there. They actually, their sales force is made up of chefs, which was very impressive to me. Really did understand the, I think, the needs of what was going to be required. But yeah, not everyone, not every chef should say, you know what, I want to throw it all, caution to the wind, and go to an island and create and cook. It's not that easy.
It's not at all.
It's a little bit of a romantic dream. What percentage, for instance, in a Michael's or in a Cindy Hudson's restaurant or Tanique, what percentage of sales would you say are local and what percentage are tourists?
You know, Phil, it's very, very seasonal. So it depends on what time of year we're mm-hmm. talking about. But I would say that you probably have almost a 50-50 split between the visiting tourists and the local residents. And what makes a restaurant successful in Cayman is the local residents.
You know, I cannot tell you how many times I've had people sit in that seat where you are, New York restaurateurs, who answer that question the same exact way. About 50% of our business are tourists, about 50% are locals, and we really got to take care of those locals.
That's absolutely right.
Because they
right.
got to come back twice a week in order for me to make my payroll.
That's exactly right.
So I guess, as Tip O'Neill once said, politics is local. Hospitality is really local, isn't it? You have to really think about the people that are your constituency. You did that, and the Dart family did that, and Kamana Bay did that, because you never suggested to me or anyone else that crescent, that beautiful dining destination that was going to have 3 to 4 to 5 restaurants. The goal was always to populate it with half local, right?
Absolutely.
Where's that initiative right now? I know at the time when we were trying to do it, the local restaurateurs who were well regarded were concerned that, oh, it's going to be expensive, it's going to cost me too much, and you know, my regulars might not love it. Where does it stand now?
Well, one of the things that we benefited from was our relationship with the restaurants on the island that were successful, because we knew that they could open a second location or relocate and be successful in Kamana Bay. Kamana Bay, just by virtue of its size, was built out in phases. So we had some early adopters, our pioneers, we'd call them.
Jackie, I'm going to interrupt you right now. What we didn't do, we didn't tell people about the Kamana Bay website. The easiest way, www.
And I'm going to spell it out because,
please.
You know, we talk about Cayman, Kamana. It's right. CAMANABAY, KamanaBay.com. It's a fabulous website.
Please visit the website. It will make you want to move there.
Well, now, Phil, here's what we talk about when you know that you have a successful operation and development is when you have a restaurateur who, as we know, running a restaurant is not a very easy business.
Hard stuff.
Very hard. Often low margins, fickle clients, customers make a decision tomorrow and they, you know, go somewhere else. We're a seasonal industry, so there's times of the year where it's very quiet on the island. But we had a group who came in. They opened a restaurant called Abacus in the first phase of Kamana Bay. And then they opened a second restaurant called Karoo, which is more of a tapas and drinks, lovely cocktails on the Crescent restaurant. Right. We also had a group come in that opened Waterfront Diner in Mizu, a local group. So we have a very nice, we have Upper Crust again. Upper Crust is a fabulous deli that was opened by people who had a clothing store at Kamana Bay. So we can measure our success by the amount of tenants who want to expand right. within Kamana Bay. Right. Kamana Bay has become a critical mass, a destination where you can say, hey, Phil, let's meet at Karoo and have a drink and decide where we're going for dinner.
Right.
Because you have all of those choices.
And if you're a tourist, it's an extraordinary place to spend a day or 2 days. Just to soak up the shopping experiences, the retail experiences. But also, you built it out, and I think this is important to talk about. You built it out so that over the restaurants, over that lovely crescent, was residential.
Absolutely.
And what impressed me was when we talked about it, I thought, wow, that's going to be great. People can buy sort of second places. And you set me straight. You said, nope. Why is it rental units?
Well, Cayman is an amazing destination for second homes or investment properties. And the reason that we decided that the terraces at Kamana Bay would be only rentals or long-term leases was because we wanted lights on. We wanted people living upstairs who wanted that vibrant activity, who could pop downstairs, go to the gym, go to the movies, go to the bookstore, go to their local restaurant and enjoy it. So we didn't want people who would buy or invest at the terraces and then only be there 2 weeks a year.
Right.
But we have a solution for them, Phil.
Tell me.
Residential coming down the line. For sale residential. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't mention that, especially to your New York City community who in the middle of winter just needs that place to go.
You know what? Easy to get to.
Easy to get to.
One visit to the Dart and Kamana Bay partially sponsored Cayman cookout will convince you.
Yes.
And were I you, Jackie, I would suggest to you that anyone serious about looking at Grand Cayman, that you allow them to look down upon the food festival from the third floor of the
observation
tower. Terraces.
Yeah.
And you get to see something that's really, really beautiful. I also know that that you're not static, and you're certainly looking forward to the future. You're going to do a couple of hotels, right?
You know, Phil, we're talking about Kamana Bay, but maybe we should talk about the Kimpton.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about the Kimpton.
Great brand.
Love the brand. I think 4 hotels here in New York City. Again, just like with our chefs and their restaurants, relationship is important.
Right.
We interviewed another number of hotels to come down, and we're doing our first hotel project in Cayman, which is a Kimpton hotel, which will be open in November of 2016.
That's terrific. Now, Kimpton, one of the most, in the best use of the word, accessible brands out there, meaning that it is by no means the most expensive. It is by no means the least expensive. It understands hospitality, and we think that, we think here in the Northeast that they get it right.
Yeah, I do.
Why will it work? Why will it work in a resort location?
Well, first of all, we're proud to be the first resort location that the Kimpton is opening. They do have one in Vero Beach, which is a beach development, but Cayman is their first Caribbean international mm-hmm. development. And back to the business of the business, the Kimpton has a personality, again, that connection with their guests, a deep connection. And it positions us perfectly between, we have the Ritz-Carlton.
Right.
We have the Westin and the Marriott.
Right.
The Kimpton is the perfect layer between the Ritz and the Westin and the Marriott.
Yeah, and the Ritz, and just so as not to confuse folks, the Ritz is not a Kamana Bay or Dart property, nor is the Westin. But they are traditional hotels, and I say that in a respectful sense. And certainly the island was ripe
yes.
for an alternative brand. Tell Jackie.
A brand with personality, Phil.
Yeah, it's a great point. We don't explore enough. People who listen to this show are really interested in how somebody selects a brand like that. How many did you go through?
We went through many. And
talk about that process, please.
I will. And importantly, we had acquired some land that had a hotel structure on it that had started out to be a Holiday Inn and then became a Marriott Courtyard Hotel. We had a hurricane in 2009 that impacted the hotel and it closed down. So when we purchased the property, it had been sitting there vacant for a number of years. So we started the process by shortlisting hotels that we knew could repurpose and redevelop an existing structure.
So it was structurally sound.
Structurally sound. We could go up additional floors, great location on the beach. And so we went out to hotels that were good and accomplished at how can I say this, more compact mm-hmm. hotel rooms, mm-hmm. as well as the refurbishment. So we shortlisted, and we probably interviewed 6. The best part of my job is secret shopping.
Well, I've seen you in action.
Yes, so exactly.
Yes, you are quite good.
But you know, when I do the restaurant secret shopping, I put on 50 pounds. When I do the hotel secret shopping, I use their fitness center. So there's a difference.
Fair enough.
So Phil, we ended up narrowing it down to two front runners, and the Kimpton eventually was a successful one, again, because of the personalities, the management, the accessibility, their vision, and what they would bring to the Cayman Islands. Our site is absolutely amazing. It's going to be one of the first hotels in Cayman. When you arrive at the hotel, you'll be able to see the beach. There's an area between the hotel and the residences that we have that is, we call it the Valley of Awesomeness. We have a landscape. We have a nursery.
Wait a minute. That's Bushwick's nickname.
No. Oh, you know.
It's the Valley of Awesomeness.
I enjoyed my ride here. It was fabulous.
Terrific. Jackie Doak, the Chief Operating Officer of Dart Realty and Dart Enterprises, is our guest today, all the way from Grand Cayman.
Short 4 hours.
Short 4 hours. Here in New York has agreed to join us for a second week. Jackie, when we come back, I want to talk about why Grand Cayman and Dart is so far ahead of the curve in the Caribbean, maybe in the world in some respects. But in the meantime, let's take a break, and I hope everybody will think about taking some classes at the ICC.
National Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
And we are back on the business of the business after that segment from Ms. Hamilton talking about the International Culinary Center.
Phil, I just think that I might have to sign up to the International Culinary Center for a class or two. I could use it.
We know some people.
Okay.
I think Grand Cayman might be a fine branch.
Yeah, we could have it. Right. Absolutely.
For the ICC. But you know what? Let's not do that, right? You've got all these great food festivals, and people can come down there for the festivals and can really enjoy. Oh, by the way, the Cayman Cookout's not the only culinary festival.
Absolutely not.
It's not my favorite. My favorite is
Taste of Cayman.
Taste of Cayman, which truly, now I'll get to all of you foodies for a moment. Sure, sign up. Spend the money. It's worth it to go to the Cayman Cookout and rub shoulders with all of those famous chefs. It's really worth it. But if you have a speck of independence, you find out about when Taste of Cayman is going to be put on. When will it be this year, Jackie?
Taste of Cayman is the end of January.
Okay. Get there, because it is every local restaurant, every farmer, every baker, every rum producer, all of them, and it is a local party.
It's a fabulous, and you know, actually, it's at Camana Bay.
It is at Camana Bay, and that was one of the reasons that it occurred to me. And I don't want to sell it short, and I really actually want to compare and contrast, right? Since we're here, there's that wonderful international. I'll say it. higher end experience mm-hmm. that people can come for. I know why I would come to the Taste of Cimon, but why would you tell somebody from New York to come down and see that? Not instead of, but let's do both. The difference.
Well, the difference would be is that at, as you said, at Cayman Cookout, Eric Repair, Jose Andreas, Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah, Jose Andreas doesn't like Cayman too much,
does
he?
No, he doesn't.
that man enjoys Cayman like no one else.
He has a real affinity. He's a diver. When he came down last year, Phil, he did a lionfish excursion where they went and caught some lionfish.
Jackie, we're going to have to explain to our audience about lionfish and why that's an important topic.
Yes, they're very invasive, Phil. Very invasive. So we actually have programs to cull the lionfish.
They destroy the coral, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, and it's a destructive, it's a parasitic fish.
It is. And it's...
And it tastes good.
It's delicious.
That's the good news.
It's delicious. All of our restaurants at Cimon Bay have lionfish sandwiches and specials. And it's a very, if I could say, evil-looking fish. Beautiful but evil. It has spines on it, but it's amazing. So Jose came down and he did an excursion where they caught lionfish and then prepared them at the Saturday night at Cimon Bay.
Dynamite.
For the Cayman Cookout. Now, Taste of Cayman brings together all of our restaurants in Cayman and all of the local cuisine. So, you know, when you go to places, you say, where should I go to eat that's not a tourist destination?
Absolutely.
That's Taste of Cayman.
Champion House, exactly.
And the beauty that we have now is that Michael and Cindy and Dean Max are all part of that.
Into that, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
They're part of that. They're our locals in Cayman now, so it's lovely.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to leave Dean Max out. He's a terrifically talented guy. I know he's not at Cimon Bay, but he's got the Brasserie, and the Brasserie also has a wonderful market. And again, that's a little more of a town center as opposed to a water center.
It is
restaurant, but it's a dynamite place. Really, all of you foodies, you culinarians, get really book a flight. It's not that expensive.
It's not at all.
And by the way, I'm going to put a plug in for a place that I love. All right, if you don't want to spend a lot of money, book the Sunshine Suites.
It's spectacular.
Spectacular, and the best fish tacos I've ever eaten, bar none.
You've got it, Phil.
That's it, man. So for if there's no other reason, Sunshine Suites, great place, incredible pool, incredible food.
If I can take a step back real quick, Phil, to the Brasserie and Dean Max.
Yeah.
One of the unique experiences for us at the Brasserie is that they have an amazing chef's garden right off their restaurant.
Right.
Great wines, great, but the venue is just spectacular. And in the Caribbean, to have that feel is, it's like I'm in New York. You know, you can go and have events in the chef's garden. You have your food picked farm to table from the chef's garden. Just amazing.
You know, it's funny you say that. That's exactly the way I've always perceived the Brasserie as a bit of a New York restaurant, because it's in the business district. There's a great deal of foot traffic there, but they really have taken an approach with the restaurant that does not suggest. I guess there are some modest overtures that, hey, we're on an island, right?
Well, Dean goes
modest,
fishing.
Right.
He goes fishing every time he's down, and he'll serve you exactly what he caught that day.
Yeah, yeah. If any of you get the chance, Dean Max he's a great chef, great guy. A lot of fun to be with. Jackie, we've got some time left. Where do you see the future, not just of hospitality in Cimon Bay and Grand Cayman, but where can your company continue to develop and grow these wonderful destinations?
Anywhere.
Well, where would you like to? Where do you see? This is the wish list time.
This is my wish list.
Yeah, where would you like to see? Where would you like to see the company expand? I don't want to say its grasp, I want to say its reach. I really want to say its culture.
It's philosophy.
It's culture. It's philosophy.
It's philosophy. Well, you know, Phil, Grand Cayman is my home. Our kids are going to school there. Mm-hmm. The development in Grand Cayman will continue. We are putting our tentacles out to other opportunities in the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. To other locations. I think I'm bound by an NDA clause right now that I really can't give you those
locations.
This is about
wish lists, not about breaching fiduciary obligations.
Yeah. My wish list is really about the experience, is where can we go to create amazing experiences in beautiful tropical destinations?
Well, you're fortunate. And again, back to the idea of being so ahead of the curve. This was an extraordinarily difficult vision to sort of sell, right? To the constituency. On the island, because it could appear, if it is not properly and intellectually honestly expressed, as if you're trying to change the culture of an island that is home to many generations. I mean, that in and of itself is a Harvard Business School study, right?
It is.
But how did that work? And are you still doing it? Are you still selling the vision? Cayman is not an island full of followers.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The word selling the vision.
Yeah.
Perhaps in the early 90s when we were starting down our path of development, we had to sell the vision because there was nothing tangible on the island. Mm-hmm. Today, it's there. You can feel the vision. You can understand the vision. So we're embraced very much by the local community.
Yeah, but in other Caribbean communities, you have an exceptionally highly educated community. You have very low unemployment. You have very low crime rates. It is the single most extraordinarily accepting place racially that
Absolutely.
I've ever been.
It's comfortable.
Yeah, but it did not have a service industry to speak of, right?
It did not.
I mean, that's the good news about bringing all the financial institutions in is that, hey, the people, if you chose to get an education and you were incentivized to get an education, you were likely to have a great job.
Absolutely.
When
in
you
a
came
bank.
Out. Right. And so now you've got, now we say, hey, we're going to develop some hospitality here. Did the constituency, did the residents, the citizens embrace it?
Well, we've just opened, and maybe it's a timely segue, a hospitality school in the Caymans. Previously, it was not a career choice to go into hospitality.
Jackie, we've had one of the best chefs in the country sitting in that chair. Happens to be African-American, Kevin Spraga. And Kevin is very, very open and transparent about his experiences as being an African-American chef. And he has been on record. He's saying culturally, sometimes it's perceived as a step backwards, the hospitality industry for African Americans.
Servitude.
Right, exactly. Right. Is that the same type of sentiment that you're seeing? Because now there's obviously not just an acceptance of the hospitality industry and what it can do for you, but there's embracement.
And I think it goes more to what they see the other opportunities are. Mm-hmm. Part of it is that aspect of servitude, and we don't want to be the ones that serving or in that industry. But part of it is the opportunities that the banking world provided to Caymanians. You know, you got mortgages for your car, for your home, a 9-to-5 job. As we all know, hospitality is not 9-to-5.
Nuh-uh. That's right. So the hospitality school, talk about that. Where and who's behind that?
It's really led by a number of the restaurateurs and hoteliers in Cayman, along with the colleges in Cayman. I think they took it's either 8 to 12 students in for their first year. People with the "I can, I want, I will" attitude, mm-hmm. that who maybe had no experience but just had the desire and drive and passion.
Guy named Danny Meyer suggested that you can teach nice people how to provide service, but you can't teach nasty people to be nice.
Exactly.
There you go. I think that's a great idea. We can talk about this off air.
I think we should.
I think we might have some ideas. Jackie, we're heading down to the end of our time together here in beautiful Bushwick, Brooklyn, at Roberta's, one of the iconic spots. not just in Brooklyn, but in New York. A couple of things I want to, three questions, some takeaways, okay, for our audience. Let's say that there's someone out there interested in the hospitality industry, interested in the real estate industry, has heard you. How does a young woman become Jackie Doak? in really, I mean, think about it. There are people out there who are trying to decide on their careers. You've got an exceptionally interesting job. How does one become Jackie Doak?
Well, I still think Jackie Doak is a young woman, although my
she
age
is.
May
she
not
is.
Be portraying
she is.
That.
She is.
You know, Phil, really, it's what we talked about when I was here last week of the perfect storm of my career. Mm-hmm. Growing up in the Caribbean, having amazing British parents, having amazing parents and grandparents who really were mentors to me in my life and about relationships, about the importance of genuineness. To going to Holy Cross and then to the law school and then practicing law in Tampa. Mm-hmm. It's the perfect skill set that brought me to a role that allows me to be front of house, so to speak. People are important to me. Relationships are important to me. The legal background, the legal thinking helps me in my role as chief operating officer mm-hmm. in all that I need to do. And so it's really just a perfect storm of my career path. And I think that's important in today's world. It's not a linear path for most.
I think that's exactly right. Tell me this. A lot of people in the U.S., me included, have escapism fantasies, right?
Escape to Cayman.
Well, escape. But let me ask you this. What would a young person in New York in their 20s, in their early 30s, how would they be received to say, hey, I want to move my life to Grand Cayman and work? What are the opportunities there?
They would be welcomed. They would have a wealth of opportunities, whether in the financial industry or the hospitality industry. And the great thing about Cayman is that you learn from others. Mm-hmm. So that young person moving from New York brings an experience and a culture to Cayman that they'll interact with others and share that. Mm-hmm. We have work permits in Cayman. So you'd come in and you'd get a work permit sponsored by the company that you're going to work for. It's a fabulous place to live and work, especially in your 20s. Again, very social. Mm-hmm. And back to the business of the business.
Yeah.
If we're talking about F&B, we always say in Cayman that we're B&F. We have a very high beverage side of our businesses. That may surprise you.
You know, I thought it would be polite and businesslike not to bring that up, but
no.
Yeah, I have seen the tab sheets, and I do note that there is a relatively high consumption rate at the restaurants. Yeah, the beverage side really seems to work out.
Yeah, and it's when you're relaxed, enjoying yourself. You know, a bottle or two of wine, some champagne.
If we can get Blaufränkisch and. in Grand Cayman. That's it. Last question. All right. I'm just going to say it. I'm just going to ask it. All right. Would you want your kids to do what you're doing right now?
I'd want my kids to do exactly what they'd want to do. But I would think that if they went into a similar career as I did, that they would find it as enjoying. I'm very passionate about what I do. I'm very fulfilled. I've been with the company for 11 years. And there's really not a day when I get up and say, I don't want to go to work today. Every day is different. It's very exciting. And not just for me, but for our entire team. We haven't even touched on Phil at the hotel at Kamana Bay.
I didn't know we were ready to do that. Let's finish
this off. Let's wrap it up with a teaser.
Is there going to be something coming to Kamana Bay that is extraordinary?
You're going to have a 5-star hotel in the Cayman Islands at Kamana Bay in the next 3 years.
And who's going to operate it?
That'll be our next show.
Ah, okay. All right. So we didn't quite get where we wanted to be. All right, Jackie.
I am secret shopping while I'm here in New York, though.
Terrific.
You know, remember?
Terrific. Well, that's going to mean you're going to have to come back, or we're going to have to broadcast live from the Taste of Cayman and or... the Kamana Cookout.
Only if you bring Jack down with you.
All right, we'll bring Jack. Jackie, thanks so much for coming up here today. My guest is Jackie Doak, a brilliant, successful chief operating officer of Dart Realty Limited and Dart Enterprises in Grand Cayman. please, folks, if you get a chance, make the time. Get to Grand Cayman, see what we're talking about. This is not a commercial for for the island, but what I can tell you is from firsthand experience, it truly is the most unique, the most cosmopolitan, the most interesting, in my view, of the Caribbean islands or Caribbean islands. Caribbean islands, as I have been corrected. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with more business of the business. Jack, thanks so much for helping us out today. Chris Thiele and the Punch Brothers taking you home. This is Phil Colicchio signing off with Jackie Doak. How about some dinner?
Let's go, Phil.
All righty.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.